And we've come to chapter 5. If you would turn in your Bible, though, to Isaiah. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. We're just going to take a little ride through the scriptures to start off that I think will give us some insight to Thessalonians chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 57. I'm only going to read one verse there, maybe two, well, maybe three, and then we'll go to Isaiah 59. But he says in verse 19 of 57, are we there? I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Now, if you'll notice there's a capital letter on that word. That means it belongs to God. God owns the peace, folks. Make no mistake about that. He said, my peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. God owns the peace. So peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. In other words, if the idea of the whole chapter is that if you'll repent, if you will seek God and turn to him, he'll give you what you're missing.
Amen.
What is that?
Peace.
Peace. But the wicked, who are they? Well, that's the ones that won't do it. That's the ones that are rebellious. That's the ones that are arrogant. That's the ones that are prideful. And they don't see a need of repenting. Therefore, he says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, where it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. What's missing? What's missing?
Peace.
Peace. And nothing in that verse says peace. You know, a word synonymous with peace is rest, quietness. Well, they don't have that. They're like the troubled sea, he says. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. Now, if God says you don't have it, and if God says you won't have it, you don't have and you won't have. It's just that simple. It's not complicated. Now, look at 59, chapter 59 and verse 8. 59 and 8. Well, let me read 7. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. You know, it's in Genesis, when he's talking about the antediluvian world, he says the imaginations of their heart were on evil continuously. That's why he destroyed them. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they... What's that saying? Somebody paraphrase that for me in your own thinking. Well, who owns peace? So if it says the way of peace they have not known, what's it saying? They don't know God. They don't know his way. And they don't know him. Therefore, they have no peace. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not.
No.
Now, we've been talking about that word no, haven't we? Well, may I tell you, in the Hebrew language, which this was written in, it is no different than in the Greek language in which we've been talking about. It means they didn't know him yesterday. They don't know him today. And bless God, they won't know him tomorrow. So at any time here, at any time, have I read, and I'm going to go on now, I'm not done. But at any time in those verses that I read, was it talking about world peace? I hear the Pope, and I don't say this against religion now. Look, I just say it because it's true. Just recently, I heard him say from his balcony that the world needs peace, that we must stop the fighting, that we need peace. But not one time did he mention God, the way of God, nor sin against God. So let me tell you something, brother. He's got no message for me, nor for this world. Because his idea of peace and God's idea of peace is two different ideas. I'm going to tell you something that you may know, you may not know. You may think I'm nuts. That's okay. I've been called nuts before. Did you realize that if you're unsaved, God's your enemy? He's not your friend. He's your enemy. Well, that's whom you need to make peace with, is your enemy. You don't need peace with your friend. You already got it. See, if the world knew who the real enemy was, they'd try to make peace with him. And he's already said, hey, if you'll repent, I'll put peace in your lips. I'll give it to you. I own it. But you're going to have to come make peace with me.
Amen.
Isn't that what Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says? Therefore, being justified with God by faith, we have peace with God. The world's idea of peace, folks, and God's idea of peace is two different things.
Right.
That's why he says it's the way of peace. There's two ways. You can go God's way or you can go Satan's way.
Right.
One has peace. One will never have peace. He just said that. They will never know peace.
Right.
Now, if you would look over at Ezekiel chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 7. I just want to read one verse there. And it's the same idea. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the prophets. In modern day, I would call them all the preachers of God. God's preacher. I want you to pay close attention. God's preacher has God's message. Those who say they're preachers and don't have God's message, they ain't God's preacher.
That's right.
I'll show you that in just a second. I'll show it to you. See, I don't make this stuff up. It's all in here. It's all in here. So he says in verse 25, talking about those who are prideful, who are arrogant, and who say they don't need to repent. He says this, destruction. I mean, you can fool yourself if you want to. You can deceive yourself if you choose. But if you stay in the way you're going and don't have peace with God, I can tell you what's coming. To a theater near you. Destruction. Destruction cometh, and they shall seek
peace.
What? Does anybody see something wrong there in that verse? Did something jump and you say, wait a minute, that don't, y'all don't move like I do. I've got tremors, you know. Did anybody see something in that verse there that don't seem right? What? Wouldn't you think they'd want to seek the peace before the destruction comes?
That's correct. That's right.
He says destruction comes, they're seeking peace. Well, it's too late.
That's exactly right.
It's been there all along. You didn't seek it. But now that destruction's coming, oh, we need peace. Well, here's what he says. And they shall seek peace. There won't be none. I don't know what you... I am so frustrated and somewhat so angry at preachers who are preaching all this stuff. When this book says, cry aloud and spare them not, it's too late. After you're gone, to seek what you needed while you were here.
That's right.
We can't come along with this, and I'm going to give you a word, and I want you to remember it because I'm going to show it in the Bible here in just a second. We can't come along with all this whitewash. We need preachers. And I don't say this because next year. We need preachers with passion. We need preachers that have the message of peace. We need teachers that have the message of peace with God. Because if you don't have peace with God, you're lost.
That's right.
And if you're lost, destruction's coming and you won't find it. Look, if you will, at Ezekiel 13. By the way, we have, last Wednesday was what they call Ash Wednesday, is that correct? You know, where you put stuff on your forehead. And it's the beginning of 40 days of Lent. Anyone know where that came from? Well, let me read it to you. In here. I'm not judging it. I'm just showing you where it came from. He said unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for, this was in the house of God, by the way, weeping for Tammuz. Anybody know who Tammuz was? Tammuz was the goddess of spring. And it brought in the 40 days before spring brought newness of life. It became a pagan ceremonial thing. And now they've adopted that as 40 days of Lent, in which they say that it's the 40 days that Christ was in the wilderness. Oh, don't worry about that. I'll give you that later. I just wanted to throw that out. We got to be careful what we call godly. Don't get me wrong. I think we ought to all be prepared, but more than 40 days a year.
That's right.
You know, it's the 40 days preceding Easter. We got to be careful with this stuff, folks. Because if we're not careful, we become ceremonial. And everything we do, some ceremony. And we forget what's in here. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to 13 where I was. I'm going to read the whole chapter. No, not the whole chapter, but most of it. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against Now, what did I tell you? What did I tell you another word in modern day for prophet is? Preach. So I'm going to read it in modern day. Son of man, preach against the preachers. That doesn't sound exactly right, does it? I mean, why would you preach against the preachers? Well, because he says, the preachers of Israel that preach, and say thou unto them that preach out of their own. God forbid I'd ever stand in front of you teaching something out of my own heart. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Why? Why can't I stand up here and just teach you something out of my heart? Wouldn't that sound good? I mean, don't it sound good to say, I just want to speak to you from my heart? Well, because that won't bring you peace. I may be the most skillful orator you've ever heard. I may have a grasp of the vocabulary that you can't believe. They call them silver-tongued people. But folks, if it's not thus saith the Lord, it's not going to bring you peace. And if you have no peace with God, you're facing destruction. That's how serious it is. That's why he says, hey, go out there and tell these preachers something for me. I know Nick wishes he wasn't sitting there right now, but that's how it is. Thus saith the Lord God, woe to the foolish preachers. Now, folks, woe is not a good word. Woe is not a good word for me. But it's really not a good word from God. Woe to the foolish preachers that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. I used to know a Sunday school teacher. Every Sunday he brought in the newspaper. And he would speak on articles out of the newspaper. So when I could stand it no more, I said, brother, let me ask you something. What are you going to get out of that newspaper that's going to help me tomorrow? Amen. You say, Tom, that's judgmental. No, that's not judgmental. See, that's what we've allowed the world to do. Yeah. The world has allowed us to be painted as, oh, you're just judging me. No. And they stood at the white throne judgment and the books were open, bless God. And everyone was judged out of the book. That's what's going to judge you. That's what my message has to be. Bless God, you better get judged here or you're going to be judged there. And when you're judged there, there'll be no peace for you.
That's right.
For everyone whose name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast. And I've told you what that word means. Picked up by the seat of the pants and thrown. It's serious. So he says, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the heads for the house of Israel to stand in the battle of the day of the Lord. They're not giving you one thing that you're going to be able to stand before God with. If you don't think they're out there, you're not watching, you're not listening. They're out there and they gather thousands. They're judged by the size of their church and not by the size of the message that's preached. I listen to them and I shake my head. That's not God. They have seen vanity and lying divination. You know what the word divination means, don't you? Divine. Well, there's only one divine person, that's God. And they're saying, well, our message is from God. But they're lying. They're lying through their teeth. And God's going to judge them. Mm-hmm. God's going to judge them. Saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they confirm the word. In other words, listen, I appreciate an amen. You got to be careful what you amen.
That's right.
You can't just say amen. Just because it sounds good. What they were preaching sounded good to me, and they were trying to get the people to go along and confirm their word. Have you not seen a vain vision? What does that vain word mean? Not worth 5 cents. Empty. Useless. And have you not spoken a lie? Aren't you lying through your teeth? Whereas you say, the Lord saith, albeit I have not spoken. I didn't say, you know, you got to be careful what thus saith the Lord. You better make sure it's thus saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken emptiness or vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And mine hand shall be upon the preachers that see vanity and divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. They ain't going in, and neither, bless God, are you if you listen to what they're preaching. I've said this and I'll say it again. I'd rather have 10 people in this building that believe this book than to have to knock the walls out to believe something else. But it seems like in this day, folks, what gathers a crowd is telling them they got peace when they don't. Whitewashing. You say, well, are you just going to tell us about the whitewashing? Hang in there. I'm going to. Because even because they have seduced my people saying peace. There's that capital P again. Remember who owns it. They're telling the people, oh, you've got it. Peace. And there was. Remember he said, you're lying. Quit telling these people they're okay. Quit telling these people they have peace with God. They don't. But they keep preaching it. Why did the prophets do that? Why did these false prophets do that? Why did they do this? To gain power. They want to control the people. With their message. And if the people like their message, oh, boy. And I've heard, listen, you wouldn't believe. And again, listen, if you think I'm judgmental, that's on you. That's on you. God knows my heart. I've asked people. They'd say, boy, I wish you'd heard that message the preacher preached Sunday. And I say, well, what did he preach? Well, it was a good one. Well, what was? May I tell you, I've never heard such preaching in my. Well, what was it? Let me tell you something. Now, listen, I want you to know I'm doing this with love this morning. God knows I am. If what you hear out of that pulpit don't go farther than that door right there, my friend, either you heard it wrong or it was preached wrong. You know, the preacher's not responsible for how we hear. But he's responsible to God for what he preaches.
Right. That's exactly right.
Just the message. And that's why I say, listen, nobody wants this place full more than I do. But if it takes watering it down, whitewashing it out to get a house full, count me out. It's too serious, folks. Souls are at stake. The gospel that's preached, the gospel that's taught in this church has to be this.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Unadulterated, Just cry aloud and spare not. And so he goes on to say this. Peace, and there was no peace. One built up a wall, and lo, others dabbed it with whitewash. I talked to a builder. Lynn, Jimmy will appreciate this. I talked to a builder just well. Never mind. Oh, I go blank sometimes. I was talking to a builder, and he was talking about these new houses are built. He said, Tom, you wouldn't believe how shoddy they've been put up. He says, some of these rehabs. He says, well, I wouldn't buy one of them things for nothing. He says, there ain't no telling what they've covered up. Well, folks, let me tell you something. What he's saying is this. What you're preaching, you're going in there and covering it up with whitewash and making it look good.
Just to make it look good.
But you don't understand. I'm going to come judge the wall one of these days. I mean, the people may not know what's behind the whitewash, but I'm going to come judge it.
Yeah.
That's how serious it is.
Lord Jesus.
We can't mince this word, folks. This stuff is too serious to try to cover it up and make it sound better, just so we can get a crowd in. It's about getting peace with God. And so he goes on to say, say unto them which daub it with them that whitewash it. Say to the whitewashers. I'll just read it to you that way. Say to the whitewashers that it shall fall. This message you're giving out ain't going to stand. You know, and the sad thing about that is they won't know it till it's too late. That's the bad thing. I talked to a guy the other day, and I said, boy, I tell you what, it's good to know the Lord's coming back, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's good to be saved. Good to know you know the Lord. I said, do you know the Lord? He said, well, I hope I've got that taken care of. I said, I wouldn't hope. You can know. You can know. You don't have to have the whitewash. You can know. He says, say unto them which daub it, the whitewashers, there shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstone, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. In other words, judgment day's coming. I'm going to test what you've preached, and I'm telling you right now, it ain't going to stand. So what should that cause people to do? Don't listen. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing? Where have you daubed? Where's your whitewash now? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I, even will rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in my anger, and great hailstones in my fury. All you got to do is read Revelation chapter 16 and verse 21, and it'll tell you that one of these days, hailstones, the weight of a talent. Now, when I go to the doctor now at the VA, they weigh me in kilograms. It's thrown me off. I stepped on there and it was 95 kilograms. And I said, oh my gosh, I got to gain some weight. But when I went to the chart, 95 kilograms was more than 95 pounds. It's a different measuring system. Well, they had different measuring systems back then. In other words, the Roman measuring system, it had a different weight for a talent. The Jewish measuring system had a different weight for a talent. The Greek had a different measuring. But all of them were not good. The worst was 75 pounds. And it went all the way up to 129 pounds. Think about that. How many of has anyone ever been hit in the head with a little hailstone? I mean, you sort of got caught in a storm and it hailed and it hit you. Well, I mean, it doesn't weigh an ounce. If you weighed it, it doesn't weigh an ounce. Did it hurt? Yes. Well, I don't care what you drop from 10,000 feet. It'll hurt.
Yeah, it will.
Well, imagine if it weighed 100 pounds. Do you think it would hurt? You say, Tom, that's symbolic. You think the way you want to think. I'll think the way I want to think. It says that there'll be hailstones the weight of 100 pounds. And he says, in my anger, for all those people that, you know, God is love. Oh, he just loves us the way we are. We're all the children of God. Folks, I'm telling you right now, you'll go to hell with that. You will go to hell with that. God is love. But you better not pervert that message.
That's right.
Because right here, he ain't talking about his love. He's talking about wrath. Judgment. That's why he says, I want you to have peace with me. Because my love is one day going to be wrath. And my wrath is equal to my love. So if his love is so great, and it is, his wrath is so great too.
That's right.
And great hailstones in my fury to consume it, so will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered and it shall fall. Let me tell you something about the foundation. Here's what it says in 2 Timothy. It says this, nevertheless, the foundation of God is sure. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth he is on. And all they that name the name of Christ, let them depart from iniquity. Which foundation would you rather have? The foundation that a false preacher gave you? Or the foundation that a true God gave you.
Yeah.
Well, folks, this message is not popular anymore. If you stick with this, they'll call you phobic, different kinds. If you stick with this, they'll call you racist. If you stick with this, they'll call you sexist. I saw just this week, y'all may have saw it in the paper, where the Southern Baptists have kicked out Saddleback Church. 30,000 every week, but the pastor decided that he would make his wife a teaching pastor. That's against this book. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if you got 130,000. Women are to teach women. But the Bible says they will not teach this class. You say, Tom, that's just too narrow for me. Sorry. That's what he says. I don't say it. You say, well, so you're a feminist. You don't like women. No. No, it's just the way God set it out. God set it out to where the man's over the house, folks. Does that mean my wife's inferior to me? Well, my gosh, no. She's so far superior to me, it's not even funny. But God gave a way for the house to be run. And he intends for it to be that way. And he don't intend for us to try to change it. And on a far greater scale, he don't intend for us to change his message either. And if you give out a different message, you're false. It's just that simple. It's not complicated. Now you say, Tom, what about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? I don't know. I've been teaching it just as hard as I know how. Because here's what it says. You can go on over there now if you want to. We're at chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians. But as the times and the season. Now what was the last thing that we talked about in chapter 4? The coming of Christ. What's been the last thing we've talked about in at the end of every chapter? The coming of Christ. Well, here he reverses it. He says, well, I ain't going to wait till the end of this chapter. I'm going to nail it right now. He says, by the way, let me say, and I'm paraphrasing now. He says, no need for me to tell you what I don't know. And no need for me to try to tell you what you do know. Does that make sense? No need for me to tell you what I don't know. And no need for me to tell you what you do know. He says when it comes to the times and the seasons, what's he talking about? When it comes to an exact date and time about the coming of the Lord, no need for me to talk to you about that. I don't know. That's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, you know, that'd be like me come in here one Sunday and teach for 50 minutes trying to explain to you when the Lord's coming back. And at the end of that 50 minutes, guess what you'd know?
Nothing.
But he says, no need for me to tell you what you do know either. He says, for you know perfectly. Now that word perfectly, I'll give you another word for it. It'll help you a little bit. It starts with an E, the next letter is X, the next letter is A.
Exactly.
He says you know exactly. Any of you parents ever been talking to your children about something and you know they're sort of lying to you and you say, now you know exactly what I'm talking about. Anybody ever said that? You know exactly what. Don't you act like that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. In other words, there's no guesswork to this. He's getting ready to tell them what they do know. He says, but that day shall come as a thief in the night. And then here it comes. For when they shall say, notice how he says this now. You know, it's written the way it's written for a reason. He says, for when they shall say, peace. By the way, is that a capital P? Oh, you better believe it is. He ain't talking about world peace. He ain't talking about peace with the neighbors. He ain't talking about getting along with everybody. He's talking about when they say we got peace with God.
That's right.
And when we're safe. I'm not sure. Anybody ever see the movie The Lion King?
Yeah.
Or read the book, C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion King? Yeah, I've never seen the movie. I've never read the book. But somewhere years ago, I came across a quote out of it. And it's just, you know, I can't remember my own name sometimes, but boy, it stuck with me. You know, they're on their way up to see Ashland. Isn't that the lion's name, Ashland? I believe that's right. And the little girl is talking to this, the spokeswoman, and they say, is he a man? And they say, oh no, he's not a man. Is he safe? No, he's not safe. But he's good. You know what that means? It ain't safe to go before God unless you're going before God the way God says come before him, folks.
That's right.
Don't let this world tell you God's safe. God ain't safe. But he's good. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever should believe in him would not perish. But don't you come up with the idea that God's safe. Remember what he told them on the mount when they were going to come up? He said, you touch one foot on that mountain. and I'll bless you forever. No, I'll kill you on the spot.
That's true.
It ain't safe, folks. Going before God ain't safe unless you go before God through His Son.
Jesus. That's right.
Then He's good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth. His truth, listen, this is His truth. His truth endureth to all generations. The story, the message, the messengers change, but the message don't change. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. And few be that enter. That's not changing, folks. Man can't change that. Man can only point you to the wrong gate. That's all he can do. And listen, he may have the greatest intent. Remember, they were speaking from their heart. Listen, you may think, oh, he's got a big heart. Oh, I wish you'd have heard that preacher. Boy, you could tell his heart. Man, he's got a heart for people. If it's not according to that, he don't. He's deceived himself and he's deceiving you. That's how serious this is. Because he says this, and then I'm done. I'm about out. He says, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Remember what it said over there? Destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, but there shall be none. Don't get the order out of order, folks. Find the peace, and then destruction won't come. Don't find the peace, destruction's on the way. It's right behind you. And one day you'll turn and face it. That's why we must be so solemn, so serious. That's why what's preached in the pulpit and what's taught in the class must be, thus saith the Lord. Not added to. He says, if you add to or if you take away, I will add to you the plagues of this book. So when you have a testimony, make sure it's according to the book. When you're a witness, make sure it's according to the book.
It has to be.
Or else it's vain.
That's right.
And what you give someone is a whitewashed wall that won't stand when judgment comes. Thank you.